Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Musician Mike Doty has made a popular career out of painful self-disclosure and a biting wit in his songs and open-ended and big-hearted discussions from the stage. In his last visit to WAMC's performing arts venue, The Linda, 2 years ago, Doty mixed his songs with readings from his memoir, The Book of Drugs, about the bitter end to Soul Coughing, the band that made him famous but left him broken and addicted, even as his solo career took off. Since then, though, Doty has exorcised some of those demons by revisiting the Soul Coughing catalog on Circle's Super Bon Bon, re-recording the songs the way he wished they sounded the first time.
Everything's going up. Everything is going as planned, yeah. Everything moves along. Everything is fine, fine, fine. Well, I could be condemned to hell for every sin but littering.
Doty will be back at the Linda this Saturday night and is also stopping at Helsinki Hudson on March 8th, Bridge Street Live in Collinsville, Connecticut, April 24th, and Iron Horse Music Hall in Northampton on April 25th. Mike Doty, it's a pleasure to welcome you back to the Roundtable.
Well, thanks very much. It's great to be back.
What made you go back to these songs?
Well, you know, I wanted to sort of own the memory of having written them. And I guess there was an extent to which I wanted to decode them and figure out what exactly I meant and who exactly I was at the time I wrote them.
And who was that person?
Still a very good question. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a number of levels on which I relate to the guy and a number of levels on which I don't relate to the guy. I don't know that I have a succinct answer for it, but it's really interesting.
Can you just talk a little bit about what changed in the arrangements from the Soul Coughing versions, you know, some of which are now 15, 20 years old, to what was on just you stripped down with a guitar?
Well, the album, the Circle Super Bon Bon album, is largely versions with drum machines and drum loops. And really, that was the kind of music I was listening to when I was in my 20s, was club music. And so, you know, it's like big bass and big drum sounds and, you know, there's sort of a cleaner sound, a wider sound, I would say. And they're probably more pop than they ended up being in the original versions.
And surprisingly, they, by and large, sound pretty happy in a way that they haven't always.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's me shining through or what. The lyrics are pretty dark. I was actually kind of startled at how dark they were, you know. I didn't realize.
So much of your memoir is about the court battles and the fights that you had and the lawyers at the end of the band. Did you have to go through any of that kind of stuff to put out these songs, you know, in their new form?
No, I mean, you know, that's the thing about playing covers is everybody has the legal right to cover anything. But anybody can cover anybody's song as long as they pay money to ASCAP, who then distributes the royalties.
So effectively, then, you're covering yourself. You're covering Soul Coughing?
Effectively, I was covering myself.
Which means that the estranged members of your band are profiting from this in some way?
Indeed it does.
Man, that must have been a tough pill to swallow.
Well, you know, that's something that I've been living with for a very long time. And indeed it is. You know, my intention is to sort of be able to kind of own the songs in my own heart.
You resisted playing Soul Coughing music for a really long time as you were establishing yourself as a solo artist. Is it fun performing these songs again in front of people?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I basically wanted to not fall into a trench of just sort of rehashing, you know, people's memories for them. And I felt like to remain a vital artist, I really had to focus on new material and be, you know, pretty solid in my convictions that, you know, this is about being new. So it was very much a necessity for me to put the songs on the shelf for a while. And it is good to have them back.
And when the ghostly dust of violence traces everything, then when the gas runs out, just wreck it to ensure the thing.
I wonder, especially on a personal note, you battled addiction and you've been really honest about that. If you worried at all that, you know, reading chapters from your book and doing that night after night and kind of being very honest with the audience about your struggles, if you worried that that might lead to a relapse or something?
Oh, gosh, no. No, I think the more you talk about it, you know, the more you relate to it as what it is, you know, I think what brings people to relapse is often, you know, ignoring it and not talking about it and not, you know, having it at the forefront of their mind.
How did you start engaging the audience the way you do now? Because it can be pretty risky for a performer.
Sure. I don't know. I guess I've always just sort of enjoyed it. You know, I've tried to be pretty assiduous about, you know, pursuing what I enjoy as an artist, because, you know, that's what I relate to in other artists is, you know, stuff they're passionate about. The Question Jar show, which I'm doing at the Linda and in Hudson and, you know, on this whole tour, you know, people write questions down and put them in a jar, and then me and Scrap Livingston, my cello player, answer them between songs. And that just came from an impulse to make it new every night, you know, because inevitably if whatever you do on stage will sort of normalize over the course of a tour. And it was a way of kind of prodding, the stage banter into being, you know, different every night.
Is there anything you won't discuss or won't answer?
Yeah, my taxes. I won't talk about my taxes. I think it's funny, but, like, you know, people can talk about anything but their money. Like, people can talk about, you know, any kind of personal problems, tragic events, ridiculous events, disgusting events, but, you know, nobody wants to talk about their dealings with the IRS.
Okay, I won't ask about that then.
Yes, thank you. I hope that wasn't a lead-in.
When you're introduced, you know, as coming to the Linda or even in this very interview, it's often, you know, Mike Doty, best known for his years in Soul Coughing. And I wonder, has that been good or bad for your solo career? Because for a long time, like I said, you were shying away from that. But on the other hand, you know, people might fondly remember that group. A lot of people do.
Well, my hope is that people who come to the shows are the people who want to hear the new stuff. You know, nowadays there's some Soul Coughing songs in the set, but for the years where there was no Soul Coughing in the show, you know, it was a bummer when someone would show up and be like, oh, this isn't the show I wanted to see. So, you know, but hilariously, the last tour I did with a full band, that was all Soul Coughing songs rearranged, and you know, there were a lot of people that were like, I'm so bummed you didn't play 27 Jennifers. So, you know, it's sort of, you can't really win this particular struggle.
Well, much like you're covering yourself, you're going to have to start opening for yourself, you know, acoustic and then
live
set.
Indeed.
Well, Mike Doty will be at the Linda in Albany this Saturday and is also stopping at Helsinki Hudson March 8th, at Bridge Street Live in Collinsville, Connecticut on April 24th, and at Iron Horse Music Hall in Northampton April 25th. Mike Doty, it's always a pleasure to have you coming to town, and we can't wait to see you.
Dude, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'll see you Saturday. 27 Jennifers. 27 Jennifers.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.